Coming up next is the show you've been waiting for, Black Op Radio.
Video computers online. Archiving 44K. Initiate sequence.
T-minus 30 seconds.
Server connection confirmed.
T-minus 25 seconds.
Live stream from 220K.
T-minus 20 seconds.
Phone lines are go.
T-minus 15 seconds.
Satellite uplink verified.
T-minus 10 seconds.
Link check complete. Satellite uplink verified.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Black Op Radio, the voice of political conspiracy research. You're listening to Black Op Radio, the show NSA doesn't want you to hear. Now here are your hosts, Anita Langley and Leno Sanek.
Control, you're on here.
Hello everyone, this is Black Op Radio, and we are joined by producer, filmmaker, director Aaron Russo. Of course, everyone knows you have a film released out, America, Freedom to Fascism. Would just like to get a few comments about the film, and then I have a whole list of questions just about reactions and your distribution and things like that. So, just to start off, do you want to give just a brief description of the film?
One which is falls into the subject of the other, actually. One deals with the IRS and the fact that there is no law that requires people to pay an income tax on their labor. There are many legal kinds of taxes, but a tax on your labor, a direct unapportioned tax on your labor, is not a legal tax. And this film deals with that, and the many Supreme Court decisions which verify that, and the fact that I interviewed the IRS commissioner in the film, and he claims that the 16th Amendment, which was ratified in 1913, which supposedly ratified in 1913. Gives the government the power to tax the labor of the people. And I asked him, well, what about all the Supreme Court decisions that followed that amendment that said that wasn't what the amendment said and that did not give you the power? And the IRS commissioner said that Supreme Court decisions do not apply to the IRS, which I thought was really fascinating, that they think they're above the law. And so the movie deals with that.
Actually, it seems to be your journey discovering what seems to be fact that is hidden from the American people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I had heard for years that there was no law, and I wanted to discover the truth of the matter. And so I decided to investigate it, whether I should make this film or not. And the more I investigated it, the more I saw the imperative of making the film, because when I would discuss with the IRS on the phone, they would direct me to their website to show me the law, but there was never a law there. There was never a statute written by Congress, and they could never actually respond to the questions by the Supreme Court decisions that said the 16th Amendment didn't give them that power. And so we interviewed many IRS agents, congressmen, IRS commissioners. It's a pretty exhaustive study of the income tax in America. As a matter of fact, the film called America, Freedom to Fascism was originally called April 15th, the real April Fool's Day. And as I was making the movie, I changed that, and I decided to make the movie a much more comprehensive study of what's happening in America today, the government in America, where the real power lies, and that the IRS is merely a symptom of a much bigger problem. As big a problem as the IRS is, the much bigger problem is the Federal Reserve System. And so the movie goes into an exhaustive study of the Federal Reserve System.
Okay, well, let's get into that in a second then.
Sure.
First of all, let's talk about your film. How long did it take to make this?
It took me 2 years to make the movie. More than 2 years, yeah.
So 2.5, maybe 3 years in the planning and finally going out and shooting and editing. And now,
well, not 3 years. It took somewhere around between 2.25 and 2.5 years.
Right, but it's not something you did in a month or two. It took years of your life.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right. Right.
Absolutely. And every day.
Yeah. Now, tell me about the reaction. Has the reaction from various theaters been what you expected?
The reaction has been humongous in many ways. It's been humongous in terms of audience reaction to the movie. You know, standing ovations, people screaming when the movie's over. I think the movie is a look at something that people have heard about over the years, but no one's ever put together in one piece before, all the different issues that are going on in America today. And
It's a confusing issue. Anyone trying to ask questions of the Federal Reserve Board or who are the bankers, and we'll get into them more. I'm just more interested to start with just to talk about your film, and let me ask you about distributions, because it seems to be an underground swell of volunteer, and your website, do you want to give your website right now?
Sure, the website is www.freedom.com. F-R-E-E-D-O-M 2-T-O fascism F-A-S-C-I-S-M .com.
Right, and we'll make a link.
Fascism.com.
Yeah, I'll put a link right from this interview with the archive so people can get that, and also how to view the film. But tell me right now, is it still being played in theaters? Is it on any kind of...
It's playing in theaters, but what I did was, after George Bush signed the habeas corpus, H.R. 6166, I decided to hurry the release and not... See, the theaters is a very slow release for me, because we don't have a big studio financing the release. And so we were doing, you know, 5, 8, 10 cities at a time, and it was slow and laborious. And when George Bush signed that, I decided that the film had to get out into the marketplace much faster than that. So I put the DVD up for sale immediately, which has been a huge, huge seller. And we've also put it up on Google for free, so anybody watching Google Video can watch the movie for free on Google if you can't buy a video, for whatever the reason may be.
Right, I'll put a link up for that. So it was a kind of a political climate that forced you into... did you have opposition from major distribution agencies about the film?
Oh yeah, totally. When I made the movie, I financed it myself because I didn't want to have a big studio finance the movie and get involved in the creativity of the movie and what I said in the movie. I didn't want to have any interference in what the movie talked about. So I decided to finance it myself and do it all myself, which I did. And when it came time for distribution, being that I had had so many hit movies before, you know, I had, you know, 6 Academy Award nominations, and I won Emmys, and I won Tonys and Grammys and all kinds of awards. I didn't think I'd have a problem getting it distributed. Even though I knew I'd have resistance, I thought I'd get it done. But all the big studios that saw the movie said, Aaron, look, this movie's brilliant. It's a brilliant documentary, and it deserves to be seen, but we know we're not going to put this out. We're just not going to take that chance. And we don't want to have any problems with the IRS auditing our companies and, you know, the Federal Reserve. They just didn't want to get near it. You know?
So you're implying or saying that they were afraid of a backlash from you exposing that your film talks about an idea here, but they took that as a real idea that there is a fraud being perpetrated, and whoever's letting the cat out of the bag, they will fight back against that.
Well, they were afraid of government interference with them. You know, they were afraid. I mean. Well, you know, they're afraid of the IRS auditing them, and they're afraid of the Federal Reserve, because people are always going to the banks to borrow money, and these are giant corporations that deal with that all the time. And they were afraid of a backlash against their companies for showing the movie. Yeah, absolutely. And so it became a very difficult task to distribute the movie properly. But many people around America donated money to get the movie distributed, to buy advertising in different cities. You know, we were fortunate enough to get it open in New York and Dallas and Los Angeles and Houston and Austin, Texas and, you know, Portland. And we got into a bunch of cities. And like I said, wherever we put the movie, the ovations were incredible. I've never seen... Movies don't generally get standing ovations. And this movie got a standing ovation everywhere it played.
Right.
I mean, people love the movie because the movie really tells it like it is, in great detail, and yet it's very funny, it's entertaining. I know how to make a movie. And so, not only, you know, having political experience that I had and movie making skills that I have, I was able to take a subject that most people couldn't make interesting and made a very interesting comedic yet educational movie.
I know.
That people have no idea about what's going on in America when they see it.
The thing I found interesting, Aaron, what I found interesting is you started off with a little skepticism that it wasn't just this one-sided attack of the Federal Reserve or banking or anything. You said, I've heard these stories, and I can't believe them for myself. I'm going to go out to meet the people. And the further you dug, the more you reveal, the more it was exposed. And, you know, in some of these court trials, you interviewing the jurors, and, you know, they let people know that there is no law, especially when that juror said the judge was supposed to come back and supply them with the law. And when he didn't, they had to fend not guilty.
Exactly. I mean, and there was another case we get into, the case of Erwin Schiff, where the most amazing thing, Erwin Schiff is trying to express to the jury, he's in a criminal trial, he's trying to explain to the jury there is no law and why there's no law. And we took a quote from the judge, where the judge says, and this is verbatim, he says to the jury, he says to Erwin Schiff, I will not allow the law in my courtroom. It's mind-boggling what goes on in our court system today, you know. And the truth is that there is no law. The Supreme Court has ruled they can't tax the labor of the people. The Congress has never written a statute that allows a direct unapportioned tax on the labor of the American people. And no matter what the IRS code says, and that's debatable what it says, there's been many back and forth, and it doesn't really matter, because they don't trump the Supreme Court. Whatever the Supreme Court says goes. And the Supreme Court said that they don't have the authority to do this. So that's the end of the game. You know, I've heard about the A61 evidence and this evidence and all these different things, but the truth is the Supreme Court said they don't have the authority, and they don't have the authority, and that's the end of the case as far as I'm concerned.
Right, and I think that to underscore this, I think in the trial, one juror was reading from the law, and she said, I believe it was Indiana, if the federal government requires you to pay to submit a tax form, then Indiana will.
Illinois,
right, okay. So what she's saying, and if this man wasn't required by any law, by the federal government, then how is he required? And I would have thought that in order to counter this, the government would have just created a new law, made an amendment and said, well, this is the way it is then.
Well, they can't do that, because if they had done that, then everybody would know that in the past there was no law.
Right. Okay, so let's just get back to the roots of this. Can you speak briefly then about the 16th Amendment and clear up where the confusion is, because people are referring to that?
Well, basically what happened was, in America, you know, there was never any law that allowed the government to tax your labor or your wages. 1894, the Congress tried to pass a law that said there was. The Supreme Court ruled that they couldn't do that, and there was no law, and it was unconstitutional. That was 1894 in the Pollock case. You go forward to 1913, and the government claimed to pass the 16th Amendment, which is a very broad paragraph, which says they can tax whatever they want, no matter where you live in the world, and so on and so forth. And they used that as a way to start taxing the labor of the American people in 1913. In 1916, the Supreme Court ruled, between 1916 and 1923, they ruled 8 different occasions, starting with the Brewsheber case, the Stanton case, the Peck versus Lowe case, many cases, that the Supreme Court, that the 16th Amendment did not give the government that authority, and the government cannot tax the labor of the people. And in 1917, it stopped, you know, based on the Supreme Court decisions. And, of course, later on, when nobody was paying attention, they started up again after Social Security came into being. And
but I think the difference here is that they can tax corporations, or they can tax...
Well, that's the other part of it. You're
right.
Correct. What you're saying is correct. The difference is that the Supreme Court ruled, see, they claim that an income tax is constitutional. And they're correct, it is, because income is defined by the Supreme Court as a corporate gain or a corporate profit, not as wages, not as labor. So when they say income tax is constitutional, it's correct, it is constitutional, and that means they can tax a corporate gain. That's perfectly fine. In the Eisner versus McCombie case, the court ruled that income is defined as a corporate profit or a corporate gain, not wages and not labor. And so they can tax that. But last year in America, you know, there was almost $1 trillion in taxes on the labor of the American people and around $225 billion on corporations. And that's part of the fascism of America. You know, fascism means big government and big corporations working together to suppress, stifle the people. And there's an example of it. They're taxing the hell out of the people, but not out of the corporations. And that's part of the fascism of America today. And so the movie gets into all those different things, and it talks. And the reason this has come to pass is because in the same year as the income tax, as in the same year of 1913 that the income tax came into being originally, the Federal Reserve System came into being. And that's the year when the American government, which has the legal authority to make the money for the government, you know, to print money, gave that authority to the central bank, a private bank. And because they gave it to this private bank, when the government needed money, they now had to borrow money from this bank. And because they were borrowing the money, they now had to pay interest to this bank. And so they started taxing the labor of the people to pay the interest to the bank. You see, but if the government made the money, as they're legally authorized to do, there'd be no interest to pay. And if it was backed by the gold system, it would limit how much money they could print and stop all the inflation and the destruction of the currency. And so because of the Federal Reserve System coming into being, that's why they started this tax on your labor, and to pay the bankers more profits. And that's what happened. And but the worst part of it is that the Federal Reserve System not only, you know, taxes, you know, gets you money from your labor, but because they make the money for the government, they now control our government. And it doesn't matter whether Republicans are in office or Democrats in office, nothing's going to change. The big sweeping tide of America is not going to change no matter which party's in office. I mean, the Democrats just won. Nothing's going to change here. It's not going to stop the war. It's not going to stop the Federal Reserve System. It's not going to stop the torture bills or the Patriot Act or 6166, you know, or any of the disgusting, you know, totalitarian policies that take overtaking our country and the police state. It doesn't matter which party's in office. I mean, they may disagree on little matters, you know. They might argue about the environment or gun control or certain things. But the big sweeping matters, the big sweeping decisions that affect America are never going to change because the Federal Reserve System controls both parties.
Yeah, and that's another idea brought up in your film about the future, talking about 2010, what's going to happen to North America with a one-world government, big bankers really putting in this one-world government. And why don't you talk a little bit about the RFID chips and the real threat it poses to people right now?
Well, what's basically happening is that the Federal Reserve System is a central bank. And the central bank is one of the major planks of the Communist Manifesto. And people don't realize that. America says, people say America's a capitalistic country. But the truth is that the Federal Reserve, which runs this country, is one of the biggest socialist, communistic planks there are. That and the graduated income tax are both planks of the Communist Manifesto, both of them. So two of the things that are running America today are both strong communist planks. And the idea is through subversion, is that the central bank of America, and combined with the central banks of the rest of the industrialized nations of the world, have taken over the governments of the world, you know, whether it's Bank of England, which is a private bank, or the Bundesbank is a private bank, the Bank of France and Italy, they're all private banks. They're all central private banks, not government-run banks. And these banks all run together through the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. And these central banks are controlling the governments of the world, and they're putting into effect a one-world government, the New World Order, as George Bush called it. You know, that's what the New World Order is. It's money controlling governments.
Right, and I've got a question that come in here. We were taking email questions all the time, and the one question is, well, who does Aaron think the owners of the international banks are that are controlling the reserve? I mean, it appears then that the Federal Reserve could be taking orders from someone higher.
Well, the Federal Reserve is a private banking cartel run by the New York Fed. The New York Fed owns 51% of the Federal Reserve system. And the New York Federal Reserve is controlled by the Rockefeller families and the Rothschild families and a bunch of very wealthy international bankers. And they control the various banks of the world. And through these banking families who are controlling our governments. And that's why it doesn't matter whether or not you have, the Republicans and Democrats in office. They're all controlled.
Right, and I think...
Like the Wizard of Oz. Remember the Wizard of Oz when pulls back the curtain and you see who's running the show? That's what the movie does. The movie pulls back the curtain and shows how the Federal Reserve is running everything.
Right, and I think people assume that maybe this is a benevolent group, but I think in another interview, you gave them an analogy as if they were two different crime families.
Well, they are. I mean,
so this is really
the fact is America's a nation that was built on the idea of freedom of the individual person. America's now become a nation run by institutions. Because if you ask most people what the largest corporation in the world was, they'll tell you Walmart or Microsoft or Exxon or something like that. But the truth is, the largest corporation is the Federal Reserve System, you know, and all the other corporations feed off the nipple of the Federal Reserve System. And that's why America's become a fascist country. It's run by the corporations, the biggest being the Federal Reserve System. And whoever makes the money, as Rothschild said, whoever makes the money makes the rules. I care not who makes the laws of a nation as long as I make the money, knowing that whoever makes the money is going to make the laws. And that's what it is. And that's why America's become a totalitarian nation. Because their whole plan is to have, and I was friends with one of the Rockefeller family, very close friends for a while, and I know what they're doing because we've had many of these discussions. And their agenda is to have everybody in the world, well, first in America and England, but to have everybody in the world chipped with an RFID chip, radio frequency identification. And they want to get rid of all currency, no more paper money. All money will become digits. You know, that's why they have these debit cards. You know, one thing leads to the other, you know. It's the old frog theory. You take a frog and throw it into a pot of boiling water, he's going to jump right out. You throw him into a pot of warm water and slowly turn the heat up, he'll sit there till he boils to death. Well, we're the frogs, you know. You know, first we had gold-backed currency, then we had a piece of paper backing, you know, which was a receipt for the gold, and then you had credit cards, and then you had debit cards, and now they want all money to be on these chips in your hand, and all money to be digitized, and anytime they want to turn off your digits, they can by shutting off your chip. And you're a slave. You won't be able to buy food or sell or pay for your mortgage without that chip on. You know, so you're going to be forced to be a slave to these people. And that's their agenda. That's what they're trying to do. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know which one it was, I was friends with one of them. And we used to share many stories and experiences. He told me a great story. I think your audience would probably enjoy this story to show you how sort of evil and how these people think. Anyway, he told me this story about the Women's Liberation Movement. He asked me one night, he said, what do you think the Women's Liberation Movement was about? And I said, you know, I had very conventional thinking about the subject at the time. And I said, you know, I thought it was about, you know, women's right to work like a man and get equal pay with a man. It's about equality. And he started to laugh at me, and he said, Aaron, you're an idiot. I said, why? And he said, you know, we, the Rockefeller family, were behind Women's Lib. We supported it. We financed it. And we were the ones who got it in the television and the magazines. And there were two reasons why. And I said, well, what were the two reasons? He said, the first reason was we could not tax half the population before Women's Lib. Half the people, you know, we couldn't tax the women. And the second reason was once women went to work, we got hold of the children at a very early age. We could indoctrinate them. We could teach them how to think in our schools. And they would look at the schools as the state, as the parent, not as parents. And we could teach children how to think at a very early age. Because now kids were going to school at 3 years old and 4 years old. And we taught them what to think about. And they relied more and more on the state than on the parents. And that's what Women's Lib was about. And I was like in shock because it never occurred to me that's what it could have been about. And that's how they think. They take something that you think is honorable, but they really have their own methods of why they're doing these things. And so I thought that was a fascinating story when I heard it. So I thought I'd pass that on to you.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's really hard to take in one way. Because it's everything you think you're standing for in a democracy is being railroaded right over. You know, you mentioned the different ties to a communistic ideal of running a state, and now this is turning into a police state. And with George Bush's administration, it I'm kind of surprised how well the Democrats did. But even so, you make the note that Democrat or Republican, it's the same power structure that's going to survive.
Well, first of all, I think your first error is calling America a democracy. I mean, America was never supposed to be a democracy. I mean, if you read the Constitution, and this is part of how well they indoctrinate us, if you read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the word democracy is not in those documents, not even one time. The Founding Fathers hated the idea of a democracy. You know, America was founded as a constitutional republic, not as a democracy. But if you asked 100 people on the street, 99 would tell you where a democracy was supposed to be. And that's not the truth. And the difference between the two is very simple. If you're in a democracy, 51% of the people control 49%. That's not freedom. That's tyranny of the majority. You know, in a constitutional republic like America is supposed to be, 99% of the people can't take away the rights of 1%. You have your rights because you're a human being. You have God-given human being rights. And no one can take them away from you. Not me, not the government, not the majority. It doesn't matter who you are. You have your rights. And that's what freedom is about, having God-given human rights. And we've lost that concept in America, thinking we're a democracy. When you hear the words, we're fighting in Iraq for democracy, just take the word democracy out and put the words New World Order in. We're fighting for the New World Order. That's what it's about. Not about democracy. They're fighting to make Iraq and the Middle East part of the New World Order. It's not about democracy. America's not supposed to be a democracy. What? Democracy is tyranny of the majority. You know, who said it really well? I think it was Franklin. Ben Franklin said, democracy is no different than two wolves and a hen voting on who they're going to have for dinner that night. You know? And that's what it is. Democracy is nonsense. You know, the only time we have a democracy in America is when we vote. We vote by the majority. But once whoever you put into office, whoever you vote for, then they have to follow the rules of the Constitution, not the democracy. You see, so you have a democratic principle of voting. But that's about it. And so that's a mistake many, many people make. They believe that we're supposed to be a democracy, and it's just not true. You know, say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, not the democracy for which it stands. We're supposed to be a republic. And so, in any case, that's what that's about. And so, I think it's important people recognize it, and I think it's important that we restore America to the republic that it once was and get back that concept of being a republic. I think that's critical. If we're ever going to save this nation from being a police state, we have to get back to the idea of freedom of the individual, not tyranny of the majority.
Right. Now, you have some plans being a catalyst for this, and you've been asking people to go to your website and sign up.
I believe very strongly that the only way to ever get freedom back in America is to shut down the Federal Reserve System. So we have a petition there where people can sign on and shut down the Federal Reserve. We ask people, we're going to stop marches and you know, boycotts to shut down, do what Martin Luther King did and do what Gandhi did to bring about a peaceful revolution in this country and restore this country back to what it's supposed to be. Because, I mean, what's going to happen is come 2008, you're going to have this Democratic Congress. You're going to see they're going to try and sweep Hillary Clinton into office as a Democratic president, and then they're going to use the UN to put on this one world government. Because the Rockefellers own Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, and they own the UN, and this whole thing is about the UN dominance of the world. And that's what the Rockefellers want. At least what Bush wanted was to have America control the world. And I can't stand Bush any more than I can stand Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton. You know, I think both political parties are disgusting. I don't think anyone stands up for the rights of the American people anymore. But the difference between Bush and Clinton was that Bush wants America to run the world, and the Clintons and the Rockefellers want the UN to run the world. And that's what's happening. So now that you have the Republicans putting in all these totalitarian police state, you know, laws, now the Democrats are going to come in and use those laws. They're not going to reverse anything. They're not going to get rid of the Federal Reserve System. They're not going to stop creating fiat money. They're not going to get rid of the Patriot Act. They're not going to stop the war in Iraq. They're not going to stop any of the big important things that are happening in this country. And well, everybody feels a sense of relief that they won. It's crazy.
Now, you briefly mentioned fiat money. Can you just discuss that a little bit? I feel that's important.
Well, fiat money just means that, you know, you make money out of thin air. You know, it's like when the government needs... In the old days, when the American government could make the money, you had a system where there was no debt, because there was no debt against the money being made, and they were limited to the amount of money they could make by the gold standard. Now, with the Federal Reserve making the money, there's no limit to how much money they print out of thin air, because there's no more gold standard to limit the amount of money they make. And you also have all this huge debt against the money that is being made. So you have the worst of both worlds. You have this huge debt and this huge inflation. And it's only the creation of this money, this fiat money, that allows people to think they're being prosperous in this country. That's what's creating the prosperity, is the printing of the money. It's like a drug addict using heroin to get high. He feels good, even though we don't know it's not really healthy for him. It feels good for the moment until he has his withdrawals. And you can have the withdrawals from this as well, from the fiat money, because it's just fake money. In other words, let's say you go to the bank to borrow money, and you want to borrow $50,000 or something, and you go to the loan officer and you fill out the papers and he gives you a loan for 50 grand. All of a sudden in your checkbook, there's $50,000 there. Well, where'd that money come from? It was just digits on a computer. He just typed in on a computer $50,000. It didn't come from somebody else's deposits. It didn't come from the gold in a vault somewhere. They just made it out of thin air. And now you, the person who borrowed the money, has to work your whole life and give them back the principal plus the interest out of your labor for something that cost the bank nothing to make. So they own you. You're a slave to the banks. And being able to create money out of thin air, fiat money, is what allows that. And so fiat money is a curse. It allows whoever has control of the money supply to control the rest of the people. And it destroys the value of the currency. Every day, my father bought a house in 1955 for $27,000, and recently it sold for $1.2 million. It went up 50 times in 50 years. Now, the price of the same house, the house never changed. It's the value of the currency went down. It takes more currency to buy the same thing year in and year out. That's because of fiat currency. And so the cost of living goes higher and higher. The American worker can't compete. You lose your jobs. You have inflation here. People worry about their futures because they know their money is buying less and less every day. And so fiat money is a curse. And yet these bankers got the concession to do this. And because they do it, they own the government and they own the people. And so that's pretty much my story on fiat currency.
Right, and I think that the only two people that had an opposition, I think, were the central bank with Lincoln and with John F. Kennedy printing his own money. Those were two people assassinated, and people think that there's roots to their removal from the Federal Reserve area.
All four presidents who were assassinated didn't want a central bank. McKinley, Garfield, Lincoln, and Kennedy. All four of them stood against the central bank. So some people think it's coincidence, and some people believe it's by design. You know, I can't prove it one way or the other, what really happened, but it's a pretty big coincidence.
Yeah, and it's just, it must be considered when studying history that this isn't a small group you're up against. Now, what I was mentioning earlier, you said that whatever you can do, you are asking people to sign up and to get an email message back from you as you plan events around America. And so that's one thing we should do. Encourage people to go to your website.
Well, what we're asking people to do is to either get on the web and go to the Google video and watch the movie for free on Google and let other people know about the movie so everybody can see the movie for free. Or we're asking people to go out and buy a DVD and have house parties and spread that DVD around and get other people to see it, you know, and so that we can... The first thing you have to do is educate people to what's happening. The movie is a great educator to what's happening in this country, and the movie should be used for that reason. So we would appreciate anybody listening to this show to send out a link to the website to everybody in their address books, and send people to the website, or send out a link to the video on Google. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, right here, yeah.
Okay, so I thought I heard you cut off.
Well, that comes to the next question, then. I don't want to sound pessimistic about this, but is there any possibility to really end something as big as the Federal Reserve?
Sure there is. I mean, Congress has the legal authority to shut it down, and we just have to force Congress to do that. I mean, these guys control the money, they control the army, they control the media, they control everything. But what they can't do is they can't control us unless we allow them to. And everything they do is designed to control the people. And so it's time for the people to stop cooperating. It's time for civil disobedience. And for people to not accept RFID chips, to not accept ID cards, to not accept all these things that are going on in this country. And to stand up and fight back like we did in the 60s with the Vietnam War. And what Martin Luther King did, you know, with the race riot protests, and what Gandhi did, and what all these people have done. Sure, we can win, but it takes an effort by the people to do it. And that's
now,
why
you
I'm
mentioned
doing
this
it.
Is not just a problem in America. It's a problem, really, with central banks worldwide. So this is something that people would be watching with interest in America, but they should be worried about in their own countries, for instance, Canada, England, Australia. That
everywhere in the world. It's a worldwide event. What's happening is worldwide. This is not a localized thing. But America is the beacon for the rest of the world. So if we start doing it here in America, everybody else will follow. You know, it's up to us. It's up to us to protect our Constitution. It's up to us to protect our country, you know, and to make sure that we stay as free people. Because what we knew as slavery back in the 1860s is nothing compared to what's coming.
Right, and I think several of your interviews highlight that the end of privacy as we know it, that the beginning of a police state, which is foretold by George Orwell, the likes of that. I mean, some of these interviews are pretty eye-opening from important people.
Yes, they are. That's why I ask everybody to watch the movie. And look, it's real simple. Go out and spend $20 and buy the DVD, okay? And show it to everybody. Have house parties. If you care about America, that's what you'll do. If you can't do that, then go watch it on Google for nothing and have other people watch it. Go to Google Video and watch the movie. You know, and spread it around to other people so everybody gets educated. You know, it's not difficult. I mean, look what our forefathers went through to fight here. You know, and look what we have to do. Go watch some videos. Go spread the word. You know, go let people know what's going on. Stop voting for Republicans and Democrats. You know, don't let Hillary Clinton become the president in 2008. Stand up for your rights. Stand up for being the individual you are.
Now, Aaron, would you say, could you describe maybe the one event that turned your investigation from just moderate curiosity into, I'm going to make a movie out of this?
I don't think it was one event. I think there was a whole series of events. You know, as I started to make the movie, I began to see how ugly everything was really happening here, and I began to see the laws they were passing. And I just felt that the movie should take on a bigger canvas than just the IRS. That the IRS was merely a symptom of the Federal Reserve System. And that the Federal Reserve System was really the culprit. And most of the evil in this country is spread by them. And so I just decided to make the canvas of the movie much bigger. But I can't say there was any one particular event that did that.
Fair enough. Well, look, Aaron, it's been very interesting, and your movie is very eye-opening, thought-provoking. So I thank you for taking the time to discuss it and some of the ideas about it. Before we just wrap up, is there anything that you wanted to maybe bring up that I didn't get to yet, or parting note you want to leave with people?
Well, the only note I really want to leave with people, you know, it's very easy to sit and complain about what's happening in this country, and I'm sure your listeners know a lot about what's happening here, but without the solutions, it's no good. You know, we just can't complain. We've got to do something about it. And my movie does something about it. There's a call to action at the end of the movie. And I just ask everybody to watch the movie for free on Google. Just go watch the movie. You know, after you watch the movie, go order a DVD. Get other people to listen to it. Go have house parties. Make copies. Just do whatever it takes to wake people in the world up to what the truth is. That's why I can only ask people to join in. You know, there's nothing more I can do other than that. That's what matters. That's what's critical. And if you care about this country, if you care about your freedom, you're going to partake. You know, you only have a few choices. You know, you're either going to hide, you know, or you're going to fight back. You know, there's not much more we can do. Or leave the country or something.
Right.
There's not a lot of places to go. So I just ask people to join in. Take up the battle, you know, recognize the truth of what's happening in this country, recognize the Democrats are not going to change anything now that they're in office, and that the big sweeping movement now is to get Hillary Clinton into office in 2008, which will be an absolute disaster, and it's going to lead to a UN world government. And so, you know, try and do something about it. And I'm giving you, I made a tool, it took me 2 years to make, to give you something to work with. You know, so if you just work with it and go out of your way to help, we can win this battle. That's all I have to say. It's up to the people. It's up to the people of the United States and the world to do what they have to do. I can't do it for them. I've done my part. You know, I made the movie. I've given you a tool. Go use it now. And go to the website, you know, freedomtofascism.com, and check it out.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Most of the people listening have already seen the film, just from their reaction I've been getting by email, and a lot of congratulations, and they want to pass on best wishes. Thanks very much for this interview. I'll post it online. I'll post links to the movie and to your website and anything else I can help.
Yeah, post links to Google Video.
Right.
I want people to see the movie. That's the most important thing.
Right, and it should be.
And then I want them to buy the DVD if they can. If they can afford to buy the DVD, go buy the DVD. And spread it, and go have house parties. That's it. Go do it. Wake people up.
A good note to end on, then. Let's wake people up. All right, thanks again, then, Aaron, for taking the time to speak to me.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.